So I'm going to talk about patella fractures. Now, one of the things you need to know is that patella fractures, patients actually don't all do that great, interestingly. So, I mean, it seems like something that's not the most complicated injury. You know, you learn about it as sort of a simple articular fracture in your AO basic course. But these patients can have a lot of difficulties, and I think you need to do everything you can to sort of optimize their treatment. Now, operative indications typically are, you know, patella fractures displaced more than a couple of millimeters. You want to make sure they can do a straight leg raise. Many of these, you'll see, they'll sometimes be, you know, vertical patella fractures that are non-displaced, but, you know, the operative ones, you'll know, right? I mean, there's some tweeners where it's a few millimeters displaced and you're not sure. In those cases, you kind of have to, you know, I guess, make a judgment call. Typically, more than 2 millimeters is usually operative. Now, you know, the fracture types to some degree dictate treatment, right? So if you have a, you know, mid-transverse clean patella fracture, would kind of wish they were all like that. But if you do, then that's the one that's typically amenable to a AO tension banding technique, which, you know, I think you're hopefully all familiar with. Now, screws are an alternative, right? So screws, like if you use cannulated screws, maybe with like a tension band wire, that's an alternative technique. Screws can work really well, but you have to be very careful with your technique. So some of the mistakes I see sometimes are screws protruding significantly out the inferior pole of the patella. And, you know, whereas they may not be quite that palpable, what happens is, especially if you feed, you know, wire through it, those cannulated, partially threaded screws, the tips of those screws are really sharp. You know, they have a sharp cutting edge typically. And, you know, when you take a wire and you pull it into a tension band, I mean, it can easily cut and break the wire off the end of the screw. So on the one hand, the screw, you know, you want it to be long enough and you want those threads all the way across on the other end of the fracture site to get your compression. But if they're, you know, if it's too long and it's going out the end of the bone, then you get the problem with the wire getting cut. So it is, it's a tricky thing to sort of, you know, get it all to work out. you want the threads all the way across the fracture, but you don't want the screw too long. So, you know, it's only certain fracture patterns where that perfectly works out for you. More comminuted fracture types, you can consider using additional interfragmentary screws. This is where I sometimes pull out, you know, a small fragment set or mini fragment set. There are also small plates that sometimes people use. There is even a recent report on the use of a mesh plate over the top of the patella. As unusual as it sounds, if you think about it, look how much we've gone towards plating olecranon fractures, which are just as subcutaneous, get leaned on just as much, but we're plating those things left and right. So I don't think it's such a stretch, if you have a fracture that you're worried is going to fall apart, that you get good fixation with some type of plate if needed. You got to be careful though, because obviously any kind of wound breakdown here is going to be a real problem. And then you have sort of the inferior pole patella fractures, and these are pretty common. And you have to sort of convince yourself, you know, how much articular surface is really there. And if it's truly just an, you know, inferior pole patella without any articular surface on it, sometimes you can excise those and do sort of a tendon advancement, like a primary inferior patellar tendon repair. You know, it is nice to get that bone-to-bone healing. The problem is, a lot of times if you, well, firstly, you often can't get good, you know, if you have a small inferior pole patella fracture, you can't get good osteosynthesis. It's difficult to get that thing to, you know, to sort of fix with the tension band or anything. I mean, you can try to put a screw in it, but it's hard to get it to sort of line up nicely for you and stay there. So we use sutures and we pull on the tendon and pull that up. The problem is if you leave that fragment, a lot of times it just doesn't anatomically key in nicely. And then you have this sort of lumpy, you know, fragment at the end of the inferior pole of patella. And sometimes, you know, if you don't get bone healing, you can get this painful ossicle down there, painful to kneel on, etc. So sometimes it's better to just excise it, right? I mean, I wouldn't excise it if it was a massive fragment with articular surface on it, but, you know, some of these distal pole patella fractures, and they're sometimes comminuted, sometimes it's better just excise those fragments, get them out of there. So a couple of things about reduction techniques. So, typically we reduce these sort of with a dorsal, approach. You're looking at the dorsal cortex. You're sort of assuming that if the dorsal cortex lines up, the articular surface lines up. Well, sometimes, especially if there's impaction, or if there's a little comminution, that can be hard to tell. So some have advocated doing a little arthrotomy where you can then easily palpate or even evert the patella a little bit, and you can kind of look at the articular surface through a little mini medial parapatellar incision. So not a bad trick. I've tried it. It can be helpful. Like I said, these patients can sometimes do poorly post-op. If you have good bone and you're confident in your fixation, don't be afraid to move them early. This is not like a pure soft tissue repair like like a quad tendon or patellar tendon. And if you have good fixation, especially if it's a good tension band type, construct, it should compress with flexion, right? So I think we're often a little bit too cautious with moving patients with patella fractures. And, sometimes they do fall apart. I've seen it happen. It's one of the reasons why, like I said, overall, patients with patella fractures don't do as awesome as you think. Hardware irritation is another reason. High incidence of having to go back and remove hardware on these patients because of the irritation, especially with wires that back out, etc. So I think those are some of the tips you need to be aware of. It's to some degree similar issues with the olecranon. Thanks for listening.